the Northwest, the legend of Bigfoot dates back hundreds of years.
This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
He became the first cabinet-level politician from a G8 country to publicly state that there is extraterrestrial life present on Earth.
Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net.
They say everything that we know, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from the people living on Nibiru.
Strange Harbor, be strange.
Well, it's another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. I'm Johnny Manson, along with MUFON investigator Cherie DeSouce.
Keeping it real with UFOs.
Anything fun and exciting happening in the topics that we discuss? UFOs, Sasquatch, cryptozoology, conspiracies?
Well, another interesting thing happened at home.
Uh-oh.
My son and I have been having a bunch of entities or ghost spirits in our old Victorian home, and they've been bothering my son. Not me. I'm not bothered, but my son has been bothered specifically by something going upstairs where he has a bunch of rooms and suites. There was something that jumped on his bed in the middle of the night and shook like a dog, walked around on his bed and then settled. And he came downstairs and he said, "Mom, I'm telling you, there's something on my bed." I said, "Did you see it?" "No." He says, "Go do something magical. Go take care of this." So I had to go into his room and sage it and ask the goddess to help me to remove this animal and put him somewhere safe. But I think it walked in with my animal wanting to play, and this is a ghost dog. You know, my son is having an issue with a ghost dog, and he doesn't appreciate it. So, and I noticed a couple nights ago that there was an extra movement on my bed. I could hear my dog actually snoring, so I knew he wasn't moving around. But there was an extra movement on my bed, and I wonder if he just came into my room. The veil between life and death is getting very thin, and it'll be at its thinnest on Halloween night, All Saints Eve. So, and Samhain for those witches out there and pagan folks. So we'll be expecting a lot of this going on in our area because it is so old here, and we have older homes, and you'll see residual things going on and maybe even some of your relatives stopping by. So, you know, pull out your recorders and turn them on and see if you can discuss things with your friendly ghost.
So what else is going on in the wacky world of the paranormal?
Well, I love a good conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been, over the last couple of weeks, looking into the Grand Canyon. It's a trip that I will never forget. I walked down into the Grand Canyon when I was very young with my soon-to-be husband. And we brought a can of tuna and a can of peaches. That's how, you know, really, they were crazy. And it was gorgeous. It was the most wonderful trip. And so I've been looking into the Grand Canyon since we're going to be having a guest, Clifford Mahudi, mm-hmm. Of the Zuni Pueblo Indian tribe of New Mexico. He and his Native Americans were in the Grand Canyon and around New Mexico, and as were 10 other tribes. And I dug around and I dug around, and there's some fabulous UFO-looking, strange-looking cryptids paintings by Native Americans. And mm-hmm. I thought, okay, so, you know, when did that happen? Apparently, Native Americans have been there for over 12,000 years.
Wow.
So there may have been some interaction between these Native Americans and aliens. So what I found really, really surprised me. Smithsonian sent an archaeologist, and they wanted to check out the tribes that were in and around the Grand Canyon. That was the purpose of the visit. And when they did that, these archaeologists came upon the entrance, or what they could see an entrance way up on the mountain, of a cave. And there was this, and it's a huge, it looks like it's been chiseled out in the Grand Canyon, this huge place. So they went inside, and you'll never, never believe what they found in there. Egyptians.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Egyptians from Egypt.
Yes, Egyptians, yes. And so they found a way to get into this cave system and almost immediately started finding artifacts.
Ancient Egyptian artifacts.
Ancient Egyptian artifacts full of hieroglyphics, lotus flowers, which is definitely Egyptian, and they found chiseled out Egyptian gods and goddesses on the inside of the cave, really big ones, and it was all before the pyramids.
Before the pyramids.
Before the pyramids. How is that possible? This cave system is so big that they figured it would hold comfortably 50,000 Egyptians. They had like these tablets for school children to teach them how to draw the hieroglyphics. So they were teaching school. They call it the Grand Canyon Lost Civilization. They have the Kincaid Cave, named after explorer G.E. Kincaid. It was all directed by the Smithsonian Institute and anthropologist S.A. Jordan. It says that they found artifacts including statues, copper weapons, even granaries full of seeds. Its size indicated that 50,000 could live there very comfortably. But the artifacts didn't match up to anything in the known record. Rather than appearing to be Native American in origin, the objects had distinct Egyptian or Tibetan designs. It caused a huge sensation in 1909 in something called the Arizona Gazette. And the Smithsonian said they had no record of either of the scientists nor their discoveries, and firmly quells any claims that Egyptian artifacts were found.
What, they're denying it?
They did, for a long time. Apparently, the riches that came out of there, pure gold statues, and all the things that they found there, the Smithsonian took it, and I don't know if the government told them to do this, or they did it on their own, but they put it in a storage area and never showed it at the Smithsonian.
Right.
Because it would have really rocked the boat that Egyptians were here in North America.
Now, it's my understanding that they were unable to date the Sphinx and the pyramids, or was it just the Sphinx? They were unable to date it.
Well, now, I'm glad that you said that, because the Sphinx, supposedly, underneath it is an entire library and riches, and none of the Egyptian government will allow anybody to touch the Sphinx.
Right. Yeah, they won't let anybody go in and look or anything.
Yeah, what is that? Yeah, what does that tell you? You know, when you've got UFOs and aliens being drawn by Native Americans for thousands of years, and then you have Egyptians in the same spot, what does that tell you? It tells me that there were aliens there. I mean, who gave them the ride to get to North America?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. And then they stayed there for that long and then vanished.
Now, is that when they went to Egypt?
We don't know.
Huh.
It's a conundrum. I just can't believe it. And when you walk into the cavern, there's a main central hub, and then all the spokes go out from there like a wheel to all of these living areas. Smithsonian took all the artifacts and left. I mean, the only proof that there was is the anthropologist at the time sent one of his people to go tell the Smithsonian what they found. They had the paper from the Telegraph where he said to sent that, you know, they found artifacts and gold. And anybody who tries to get into this Egyptian or the Kincaid cave systems and all that, they're arrested and are never allowed to go back to the Grand Canyon on risk of going to jail. The government will not allow anyone to go anywhere near. I mean, there's something called the ISIS pyramid. It's this huge, gigantic structure that there's a hole in the side of the mountain that you can get into this ISIS cavern system. And it's another place that no one's allowed to get into.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. I never heard of it. I never heard of it. But here's an excerpt.
Okay.
John Wesley Powell discovered what is now called the Powell's Cave. The following is a quote taken directly out of a book that Powell published. In this canyon, great numbers of man-made caves are hollowed out. I first walked down a gorge to the left of a cliff and climbed to a bench of the cliff. There was a trail on the cliff bench that was deeply worn into the rock formation. Where the trail crossed some gulches, some steps had been cut. I could see no evidence that the trail had been traveled in a long time. I returned to our camp about 3 p.m. and the men had found more Egyptian hieroglyphics on cliff walls near the cave. We explored the cave and found this shrine and other artifacts. That evening, I sent a team member to notify the Smithsonian Institute of our discovery. We continued to survey the canyon and discovered more Egyptian tunnel cities. I estimate in my report that I think upwards of 50,000 Egyptians had inhabited the Grand Canyon at one time. The hieroglyphics, and this is not quoted, the tablet I was talking about that taught Egyptian children to read and write, that huge gold statue I was talking about, they found that. So, and other artifacts like the copper weapons. I mean, copper. Now, the Smithsonian on YouTube actually has a video of the caves. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it tonight, but this is to be continued.
Right. That's insane.
Egyptians.
And they were here first.
And they were here first. That's what they believe. I mean, how do you go from the Grand Canyon to the desert? How does that happen? I mean, they must have had a few ships. What do you think?
Could there have been a land bridge somehow then? Or?
Well, we did have some, the Bering Sea, and there were many land bridges. But the Egyptians were fairly good sailors. But I don't see it. It's just weird. And we're all about the weird.
Yes.
Okay, so have you ever heard of an energy vortex?
A vortex, yes. I'm somewhat familiar with the vortex. A friend of mine owns the Montana Vortex. And then my old buddy, Dr. J, had gone to the Oregon Vortex. But I've never been to one, though I've been invited to them. What are they?
It's an energy. And the location has a powerful spiraling Earth energy. Like right now in the South America region, we have a spot where it's pulsating and it is screwing up all of our satellites, and they're having to redirect these satellites because of the energy that the Earth is putting out in that weakened spot. So it's just a high amount of energy, electromagnetic energy, that can really screw up satellites and the energy that they need to keep working. It screws up communications, but it also does some tingly things to the human body.
Really?
Yes, because you can feel it. I mean, each one of us have an electromagnetic field. And I've told you before, my electromagnetic field, when it's off, I blow up light bulbs in the house. I mean, I've gone through like 12 light bulbs in a week.
Yeah, you malfunctioned our recording equipment here.
I'm sorry. I get so excited when I do this job. So these areas are also called spiritual energy, other energy factors such as the convergence of ley lines. These vortexes are believed to be highly spiritual in nature, and many attribute healing properties to them. What happens is, I think there's one in Oregon, isn't there?
Yeah, the Oregon Vortex.
I believe that's the one my dad dragged me off to during a family vacation. You kind of stand somewhere and you put somebody on your left side and they're really tiny, and you put somebody on your right side, you know, back and forth, they're really tall.
Right.
It just has really weird things going on the property. And you can stand a broom, sit it straight up, and it stays there. Just an ordinary broom.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something going on with these vortexes. Also, there's something going on with ley lines. Ley lines are lines, that imaginary lines, that go across our world in a sort of a pattern. And ancient civilizations placed all of their buildings on these ley lines because of the vortexes.
Wow.
Because, okay, what does an energy vortex feel like? Why would they do this, right?
Right.
All right, so everybody has varied experiences in an energy vortex. But some things people report are like profound spiritual experiences. Like you would go to England and go to one of their most famous places that the witches go to, Stonehenge. So you go to Stonehenge, and people that go there just find themselves just very spiritually touched, mm-hmm. and experience great love and just feel really good when they go there. You can also have a physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual healing.
Hmm.
You know, like they bring, like, children that have issues. They'll bring them there, like if they're ADD or something.
Right.
And it helps. It helps their mental status. Also, okay. There's tingling sensations in the body. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Increased sense of spiritual clarity or understanding. So you get a sense of knowing your place on the planet, knowing your place in the stars. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Right.
It also increases your psychic ability.
Hmm.
So you could go there and just start picking up things. Your brain's working better. Your soul is feeling better. I mean, you're just filled with all this love and emotion. And, yeah, your psychic ability could enhance. You get a rush of energy. So you could stand on one of these, you know, vortexes,
mm-hmm.
and really feel like you just drank an energy drink. Now, that's not so bad.
Right.
You could have a shift in consciousness. So, like, if you wanted to meditate, if you went to a vortex, that'd be one heck of a show. Altered perceptions. So, psychedelic, kind of hallucinogenic, altered perceptions, where you could see things you never saw before, colors you'd never seen before. So your perception of what was normal would be different. I think that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
A sense of euphoria or bliss.
You keep talking about this, and I got to say something before we go to break. Remember when I told you, I shared with you my experience in the Southern Oregon habituation area, the young female at the foot of my cot?
I remember.
Okay. Later on, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 trips later, I'm up there. Matt had gotten ill. I took him to a hotel, and I was up there to teach the new guy his methods, because I knew it to a T. And I had said, okay, well, you know, Matt was always my security blanket up there, because I would get, like, kind of panicky and freaked out because these things are running around us, shaking the ground, right? At one point, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to play music like Matt does, but I'm not going to walk the edge of the perimeter, because I was too freaked out. And I'm especially not going to go in the creepy dark area that he always goes in either. So I'm playing the music, walking around the perimeter, and, you know, I'm kind of freaked out and semi-panicky. The next thing I know, I get this euphoric, everything you've just described happened to me.
Oh my gosh.
And I got this
I got chills.
I got this euphoric feeling. I had this love, and I wasn't scared anymore. I was walking in the areas that I said I wouldn't. I was in the creepy dark area that I said I wasn't going to go in. And I figured the Sasquatch just zapped me with their infrasound, because they can do that, right? Allegedly, they can zap you and make you feel sick, or they can make you not, you know. I'm just like, okay, maybe, you know, I got zapped or something. But I've never had anything like that happen before or since then. But it was just what you described. In that location, a portal opened up. This was the Adam Davies portal incident, but that's the same location where this portal opened up. And the way they found out what triggered the portal was they went to the Oregon Vortex that day. You know, Matt did trial and error, like going up there without going to the Oregon Vortex and then going up there after going to the Oregon Vortex. And every time someone had gone to the Oregon Vortex and went up to that area, the portal would open up that night. So you see the connection?
Oh, there's definitely a connection.
So maybe it wasn't the Sasquatch that zapped me. Maybe it had to do with...
with the Vortex.
The Vortex.
That's right. That must be an area that there's a ley line. You must have felt all of that.
But what would trigger it? Because I didn't go to the Vortex at all. I've never been there. Why would this happen all of a sudden?
There may be a dimensional door that goes from Vortex to Vortex with all that energy.
But why would this not happen before? Because I'd been there tons of times.
Right.
Why hadn't I ever felt that before? Or how come I didn't get the euphoric stuff any other times? It was just that this one time.
The other two or three things that are on this list, one of them is an increased paranormal or anomalous activity. So for things to go back and forth through time or space, sure, why not? I think on more than one occasion, Bigfoot has been noted to disappear.
Right.
Just walking, goes behind a tree, and there is no more Bigfoot.
Some have actually just vanished in front of their eyes.
In front of their eyes.
We always kind of speculated and theorized, well, maybe they zapped you with infrasound that kind of stunned you, and they walked off, and then when you were unstunned, it seemed like an instant, but they were gone. I mean, just all speculation, of course, but...
it just sounds to me like they slipped through dimensions.
Right, right.
They just slipped through.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, and we've been definitely talking about the weird. What are we going to talk about next segment? Are we going to stay on this?
Well, we can, and I'm going to go through some of the places that actually have vortexes.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, and we talk about the weird, like UFOs and cryptozoology, conspiracies, ghosts, paranormal, all that good stuff. And we've been talking about vortexes. Where did we leave off?
Well, we left off at energy vortexes and how you feel when you're around them. But now I'm going to just tell you where they are.
Okay.
There's one in Sedona, Arizona. There's an airport Mesa vortex. Its site is on the road to the airport. It sits on a mesa above the town, and it's a short walk to go up and to just feel this vortex. And then there's one called the Bell Rock Vortex in Sedona. This vortex is extremely powerful in its energy, and you can feel it if you're anywhere near Bell Rock. It's just a very powerful one. The vortex is so strong that you don't need to be on the rock to feel the energy. That's saying a lot. And then there's one called the Boynton Canyon Vortex. It's a good one to visit for vortex hunters at all levels of physical condition. You walk a half a mile from the parking lot and you can get there. And yet a fourth one, Cathedral Rock Vortex. It's a short distance to climb, and the vortex is in the saddle of the rock. So in Sedona, there's four more. One's called the Chapel of the Holy Cross. So they built a chapel on the vortex.
Hmm.
That could be fun. Buddha Beach, Oak Creek Canyon Overlook, and Energy Well Spring. Sedona is loaded with vortexes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because all the artists, creativity, right? All the artists like to go there. All the woo-hoo, you know, psychic and paranormal and all that, they love Sedona. Well, I'm beginning to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got eight vortexes in their little city.
Wow.
The whole thing is a big vortex. So if you're interested in vortexes, that's a good place to go check them out.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in Mount Shasta in California. Now, I've been to Mount Shasta. I have skied Mount Shasta. And this is the entire mountain is believed to be an energy vortex. The whole mountain. And the town of Mount Shasta, you can feel the healing energy and the pull of this location. You find yourself wanting to stay longer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and you're happy, and you're walking around with all the snow everywhere, and you're just euphoric, and it's also a healing place.
Hmm.
And then, you know, you don't want to forget that there's a lot of healing and spiritual healing, too, for those who are, you know, needing that kind of boost. So outside of Sedona and Mount Shasta, the other kind of locations are Crater Lake in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Denali National Park in Alaska, Garden of the Gods, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Lake Louise in Alberta, Canada, Mount Mitchell in North Carolina, Ojai in California, that's where all the hippies like to go, Oregon Vortex,
mm-hmm.
Gold Hill, Oregon, Petroglyph Park, Nanaimo, British Columbia in Canada, Red Rocks Amphitheater in Denver, Colorado. That place rocks.
Yeah?
I know that personally. Yes, the vortex there is very strong. Red Rocks Amphitheater, oh, I think I said that one. Ringing Rocks, Doylestown, Pennsylvania. St. Augustine in Florida. Yeah, I totally get that. I've spent a lot of time in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and St. Augustine is a happening place.
Yeah?
Yeah, it really draws an amazing amount of eclectic people. And Taos in New Mexico. These vortexes actually affect. Anyway, they change your brain waves.
Right.
So you actually see something that may or may not be there, or that... Yeah. It gets really scientific-y.
Scientific-y?
Yes. That's a new word. It's mine.
Okay.
Okay, so here's some famous energy vortexes around the world.
Okay.
There's one in Glastonbury, England. The town of Glastonbury is believed to be the intersection between two large energy streams, creating an energy vortex. You'll find two energy vortexes here at the Abbey Ruins and at the Glastonbury Tor. So, you know, you go to Glastonbury and you're going to get double blasted. That could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
This won't surprise anybody. Machu Picchu in Peru.
Mm.
That is a huge electromagnetic subterranean energy. It resides in the Inca citadel of the famous mountain. Machu Picchu is one of Peru's most popular tourist destinations, and the ruin is said to be responsible for many healings and spiritual awakenings. It's also known for ancient mysticism that's still prevalent today.
Hmm.
Boy, those Incas, man, they knew how to build. Now, see, this is another ley line building that the ancients built there because it's an energy vortex.
They knew how to party, right?
They knew how to party. Yep. The Great Pyramids of Giza in Egypt, they have unique energies and spiritual awakenings by visitors. These are the most famous of the Egyptian pyramids.
Did you know that we were going to make that the prime meridian at the pyramids because of its location? And they ended up choosing the prime meridian where it's at now, which is like England or something like that, because of the ports and stuff. But besides that, they were going to make because of its location, I guess.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, that would make sense because people before us, our ancestors, knew that these ley lines and these energy sources were there. Somehow along the way, the scientists knew and didn't do anything with it, and we went on with our lives, not really paying attention.
Shocking.
No one truly knows the original purpose of the mighty structures of the pyramids of Giza. They were built using the universal mathematical constant of pi. In fact, many claim that these golden ratio buildings demonstrate a very important purpose. Many people believe that the pyramid form, when built using these specific mathematical equations, will aid in healings. Do you remember in the 1970s, when people were putting their watches, broken watches and things, underneath a metal pyramid that you could buy at the store?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, boy, am I dating myself. They buy these pyramids, and anything that was broken or you wanted to heal, like your finger, you'd put your hand under it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the very top focused energy into this pyramid, and people swore by it.
Hmm.
I did not own one. Okay, so Himalayas in Asia, the tallest mountain range in the world, famously known for the challenge of climbing Mount Everest. It stretches across 5 countries. India, China, that's the Tibetan Plateau, Bhutan, Nepal, and Pakistan. So it is sacred. The Hindus and the Buddhists revere it as sacred. And spiritual sojourns to the Himalayan range are very common. The Mount Kailash, or Kailas, is located in Tibet and known as the 7th crown chakra of the world.
Hmm.
Yes, there are chakras through the world. And that's pretty cool. The energy must be off the charts. Mayan ruins in Tulum, Mexico. Now see, here's another one. The Mayans built their buildings right there on the ley lines.
Hmm.
Yeah. On the Yucatan Peninsula. So many believe these ruins are imbued with deep spiritual resonance, arising both from the location and from the mystical energy of the Mayans who once inhabited the city. I mean, it just screams energy, energy, energy. Easter Island in Chile.
Yeah.
The island owns 887 carved human-like statues that were recently discovered. They're nearly twice the size as the portion exposed above ground. It's commonly believed to be within a large black spiral, the whole island. The island was formed by volcanic activity and is in keeping with the viral vortex pattern that crosses the planet. Ley lines. Ley lines.
Ley lines.
Yeah. So Easter Island's got all these human-like, but not human. What could they be? All right, Stonehenge. Sitting in the center of a convergence of 14 major ley lines. Right dab in the center. Wow. Those druids knew everything. The ancient site of Stonehenge has been believed to be an energy vortex forever. A prehistoric monument sits here, and the purpose of the monument is the subject of legends and mysteries, since no written records exist explaining the purpose of the monument. Still, visitors here report feeling deeply spiritual energy that likely comes from the convergence of the ley lines that create this powerful energy vortex. And they just found something out on Stonehenge.
What's that?
That there are more buried deep.
Yeah, yeah, big one, like a mega henge.
I know!
Right.
There's another henge underneath all that dirt.
You see, and I was kind of bummed out at Stonehenge for the longest time. I found those, like, I think 1920s pictures of, they had these big cranes moving them all around. And the story I got was they placed them in areas, I mean, you see them digging them up. It's almost like they made a big neighborhood party out of it. And it's like, well, they're making it sound like they've been in that form forever, but here I see these black and white photos of them moving them all around. So it kind of broke my heart. So I don't know what to believe.
Well, the story that I heard was that they lifted them back into place.
Oh, yeah.
That they, you know, if they were on their side, they went ahead and just, they were so heavy. That would be the least amount of effort for them to do, right?
Right, right.
So by leaning them back where they were, supposedly all those alignments were already there.
Right on.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that's true.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's true, too.
Yeah, yeah, me too. But now they have a whole new set underneath. And the ones that were lying on top might have been the tops of the ones that are on the bottom.
Right. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. That's just crazy. All right. So we talked about all different kinds of energy, right? We talked about energy for healing, energy for enlightenment, and then there's a spiritual energy. And people who are into yoga... there are four types of spiritual energy. There's prana, which is Hindu. It means breath in the ancient Hindu language of Sanskrit. More correctly understood as a life-sustaining force.
Mm-hmm.
Qi, which is Chinese. Qi energy is the life force of the world and contains female yin and male yang energies. And that is a form of balance.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting that kind of balanced energy. Divine love. Many faiths believe in this, divine love. Christianity, Judaism, and other religions of the world define spiritual energy as coming from the divine love of God. And then Mother Earth spirituality, which is Native American and pagan. Mother Earth spirituality is the great common point of the Native American nations that once populated America. Each nation had its own specific belief system that generated from the spirituality and viewed Earth as the mother and the sky as the father. With total respect for all things of the Earth is the breath of this spirituality.
Hmm.
So that goes into yoga and healing, activating your chakras. and anybody who does yoga or any of the mystics would recognize all of these. And anyone can tap into spiritual energy or, you know, healing energy. We have it within ourselves to do that. And just sitting quietly and meditating and absorbing it, what you want to do is you want to ground yourself.
How do you do that?
You sit in the grass.
Oh, yeah?
You sit in the dirt. You sit on the rocks.
On the earth, right?
Right on the earth. Take your shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the energy from the earth. That is our right. We are full of energy, and that's what makes us tick. And when we take our shoes off and we plant our feet into the ground, the energy comes up through our feet and feeds the rest of our body. Shoes are the worst invention on the planet.
Right.
So if you're looking to get recharged, take your shoes off and walk in your backyard or your front yard or your side yard. So yeah, that's that. And the key lines, I mean the key lines, the key to unlocking the ley lines will unlock the matrix.
The matrix, like from the movie?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It's a mysterious force. You know, we've been talking about ley lines where the ancients placed all of their buildings. But these ley lines have been known by the Greeks. I mean, people from way back. And the rediscovery of ley lines in this century is unveiling the secrets of nature. Ley lines are the luminous strands that many are pulling at today, hardly suspecting what riches lay at the end of them. All ley lines lead to the planetary grid, the primary light and energy matrix, creating, enveloping, and maintaining planet Earth, our Gaia. So, ley lines aren't just a place to put a building. They are natural energy sources. Better
wow.
than a natural, you know, drinking caffeine. I mean,
right.
they're just totally natural.
Right.
It's a straight, well, it's not really straight, but it's fairly straight fault line in the Earth's tectonic plates. I mean, there is no such thing as a straight line, but it follows a fairly straight line.
Mm-hmm.
Through the cracks in the Earth's tectonic plates, the magnetic energies release a very powerful amount of energy. And people now are starting to understand that that energy surge up their body is because of these vortex ley lines. So our ancestors have known about these lines for thousands of years. Every race and culture on the planet has known and used them. And all you need to do is look at the ancient cultures of the Earth, find out where their buildings are and where they lived, and you can follow the ley lines on the planet. There are pictures of ley lines on the internet that'll show you the electromagnetic energy in these lines. And it's a grid, literally a grid. You know how you look at the planet from space and they show you how the electromagnetic field is rounded and does this kind of rounded cage around the planet
mm-hmm.
to protect us from the sun's rays.
Right.
All that energy is inside the Earth radiating out in our bodies every day. So you can pull it into you.
Well, and wasn't Tesla trying to harness that energy out of the atmosphere to provide free electricity to everybody around the world?
Oh, absolutely. And you don't have to put it in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You take the rod, you pound it down 3 to 4 feet into the earth,
mm-hmm.
you put your wires on that rod, and you have free energy.
Yeah, and that's what, like, his Tesla Towers, which was based on the pyramids. They speculate the pyramids were power plants by all
that's
the
right.
rocks that it's made out of, not just the limestone, but the other materials, the minerals it's made out of. And then there was a water source. The Nile went right by it, because you could see, you know, if you look at the landscape, that the Nile did go by it. And then apparently there's a big like cave of water underneath the pyramids, which would
generate the electricity.
Right. And we've been able to improve our own nanotechnology with solar panels because of the pyramids that we've been studying.
That's right.
But they were just dumb Egyptian people that just built these tombs to put a dead pharaoh.
No, actually, they were so smart that if you wanted to have someone come back from the dead, that's exactly what you would do. You would put them in a highly energized place, mm-hmm. where there was water that was generating energy, and that person would come back to life as a ghost and be able to communicate.
Wow, so you think that's what the pyramids were for, were to just bring back like their pharaohs, or just anybody?
I believe, in my own opinion, mm-hmm. that through science, they were able to use it as a resurrection process. I truly believe that, having been around so many ghosts.
Is there any more information before we wrap things up? Can we post it on strangeharbor.net, or can you put something on Facebook or something for people to find more about this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got lots of information. I'll even look up that YouTube where Smithsonian goes, oh, yeah, I guess we did find some stuff in the Grand Canyon.
Now, they supposedly took the head of that Zuni statue that the tribe said when their space brother came down, took the head of this statue.
Right.
And he said,
I'll be back.
I'll be back, and I'll bring the head. But the Smithsonian took the headless statue.
Yeah.
And some are speculating that the crash at Roswell was their space brother returning, but we don't know because it was a weather balloon and everything was cleaned up. And
yeah, I think we're past that now.
And the statue is tucked away in the Smithsonian somewhere.
Like everything else of import. I think the Smithsonian is a place where the government places anything that's weird and strange.
Like the Ark of the Covenant from Raiders of
exactly.
the Lost Ark?
Exactly. I was totally thinking the same thing.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to know more or listen to past episodes or yell at us for being tinfoil hat wearing whack jobs, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.